Coming up on this episode of the Sarlacc Pit Podcast, Chris and I give some love to Star Wars The Clone Wars as we discuss our favorite characters introduced in the Clone Wars animated series. We also chat about comics, San Diego Comic-Con, Christopher Lee, The Force Awakens, and so much more. So buckle up as we get it started right now.
Got to the Sarlacc pit.
And the powerful it is.
The almighty Sarlacc.
Binds the galaxy together.
All-powerful Sarlacc.
Its energy surrounds us and binds us.
Welcome to the Sarlacc Pit, official podcast of GalacticBinder.com and Yodasnews.com, the fans podcast. So grab your lightsabers and join your hosts, Matt Krenke and Chris Hoffice Planet, for this round of discussions.
Welcome back, Star Wars fans, to the Sarlacc Pit Podcast, the podcast to help you digest everything in the Star Wars universe. The Sarlacc Pit is brought to you by GalacticBinder.com and Yodasnews.com, and we thank those websites for their support of the podcast. This is episode number 87 for June 14th. 2015. If you're new to the show, my name is Matt. Thank you for joining us. And let me bring in the host and creator of the Sarlacc Pit Podcast, Mr. Chris Smith. What's up, my friend? How you doing?
Well, what's up? I'm doing pretty good. I'm pretty busy, but you know, finally we get a chance to sit down and talk some more Star Wars again. It's been a little while.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's good to be back, man. You know, there's been a lot of stuff happening in the Star Wars universe, and that's what we're here to do, to help you guys break that down. And then we're also going to finish the show with our topic today, which is our favorite Clone Wars animated series characters that were actually introduced in the Clone Wars. So that'll be fun to talk about that, our top five. We got another top five list coming at you. But before we do that, like I said, tons and tons of news, stuff going on in the Star Wars universe. And we're going to help you guys kind of digest some of that right now. So let's get it. So I thought, you know what, let's start off with the first one. It's kind of the bigger news that came out last week or so. Star Wars and I guess movies and horror movies and the Lord of the Rings fans, we all lost another actor that played so many great characters. And of course, for us Star Wars fans, he was Count Dooku. And we lost Christopher Lee. Was he by 93, Chris?
Yeah, 93, yes.
Yeah, and wow. You know, the stuff that he did, I mean, well, you know, like for someone like me, I wasn't into like a lot of the horror stuff that he did. And it was quite a while ago, you know, before my time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what he did for Star Wars and one of my other favorite franchises, The Lord of the Rings, this guy was solid. And all I can do is talk about what he did in those franchises. And I think as well as he did with Count Dooku, I think he even did it better with Saruman. I'm not a big, like, I think it was Saruman. I always get Saruman and Sauron confused. I think it's Saruman. But what he did with that character and the gravitas that he brought to that character was fantastic. And he did the same type of thing for Count Dooku. He brought that gravitas, that overpowering or overbearing type of personality.
Yeah.
And it just made it. It made it so good for, and you know. I don't know. He just, like I said, all I can do is really talk about those two things. But I guess Star Wars fans and Lord of the Rings fans and all the stuff that he did. I mean, this guy even did like hard rock albums and stuff like that. The stuff that I never heard, but it was just a trip that this guy was involved in so many things. And it was really sad to see him pass away. So Count Dooku, man, rest in peace. What do you think, Chris?
You know, I kind of think the same thing. I really don't know his history because I'm sure I saw some of the horror stuff or some of his older stuff when I was little, because that's the type of things that you would see on, like, Saturday afternoon cartoon. I mean, a Saturday afternoon movie or late night movie on the weekend or something, but I don't remember any of it. So I kind of think about it today. I need to go back and see what they have on Netflix and, you know, check out some of his older stuff because, yeah, you know, like you said, The Lord of the Rings and with Star Wars, that's the two things I know him from. And right. Yeah, and I liked the way he played Count Dooku, you know, for getting a character that's in one movie and then ends at the beginning of the next movie. He had this, you know, like you said, presence as a character that, yes, this is my part. I mean, this is my character. I own this character type of feeling. It comes across, and he, knowing that it's not going to last very long, yeah. It's just a small part, but he plays it as if he's a, as if that's, you know, what Count Dooku was. I mean, he was like, he's the top dog right up under the Emperor, or at the time, Darth Sidious. And, you know, that reaction that we get when Palpatine says, kill him now, is just like, you know, just priceless. One of the best reactions you ever could get. And he's just like, okay. And then he just stands there. Well, stands there. He's kneeled down and he just basically, he takes it like he should, I guess. He didn't cry about it. He didn't whimper, but, you know.
He just in total shock, though, because he got bamboozled. Just like a lot of people do with. Yeah, I know. It's you know, George Lucas had some nice thing to say. Kathleen Kennedy had a nice little you know, comments about him, and never really heard anything bad about the guy. He seemed like he was always like professional. He never talked down about Star Wars or any of the stuff he did.
And now I know we can go back and probably watch some of the movies that he did with Peter Cushing, because I believe they did several together in that horror genre.
Right, definitely. Those British actors did a lot of that horror stuff together. So, yeah, 93, man. So rest in peace, Mr. Christopher Lee. Loved your stuff. And Count Dooku will always be one of our favorite characters to come out of the Peter series. On some lighter note, though, getting back to some fun in the Star Wars universe, another big thing that's coming out in about a month, Chris, is San Diego Comic-Con. And it was revealed just a few days ago that The Force Awakens is going to have a large presence, it seems like, at San Diego Comic-Con. And it begs the question now, I mean, how much are we going to get? I mean, they're going to have a whole panel, and Kathleen Kinney is going to be there. Could we get some more reveals? Could we even get a trailer? I mean, wow, it's going to be 6 months. We're about, by the time Comic-Con comes out, we'll be, what, 5 months away, roughly, from The Force Awakens. So I don't know. Is that full on trailer one talk we're thinking here? What do you think?
You know what? I think we'll get it. Think
so? Yeah.
Yeah, I think we'll get a full trailer. Now, whether it'll be a full on trailer like what you're saying, or if it'll be more of a, I think with J.J. Abrams, yes, I think it'll be teaser. I still think it'll be a full teaser trailer. It'll show us stuff. You know, kind of like what we saw with the Phantom Menace. You know, we got to see a lot of footage, but we had no idea what was what. We didn't know what was going on with it, with the story. But I think it'll be kind of the same thing. We'll get to see a lot of things, but yet we still won't know exactly what's, you know, they're not going to tell the plot, so to speak. Right. We know that. Because I hate movies that do that. I'm like, seriously? Uh-huh. I mean, you know, Terminator Genesis, for example. The one that's coming out now, they show like this huge movie twist in the trailer. And I'm like, really? Mm-hmm. And, you know, that kind of makes me think, okay, that's not the major twist, then there's obviously going to be something else. But still, I don't want to see that in the trailer. You know,
You want what? Go ahead.
I said, I don't want to see that in the trailer. I want to be, you know, yeah, show us a few things, but I still don't want the storyline or the plot. You know, you can give the basis of what the movie's supposed to be about, but don't cross that line, which so many trailers do nowadays.
Yeah, and I think that Lucasfilm, Kennedy, and Abrams know that as tight as they've kept this ship so far, and the stuff that they've let us know about, you know, as far as some of the, especially talking about the Vanity Fair issue that came out where it gave us a bunch of stuff. It gave us, hey, it actually gave us that Kylo Ren and God, I'm drawing a blank on the actor already. But, you know, they said he was going to play Kylo Ren, the guy that we all thought it was.
Adam Driver,
there you go. And, you know, they talked about Gwendolyn and Christie being Captain Phasma, stuff like that. So they're really, really keeping a close grip on some of the stuff. So I don't think you're going to let any type of spoiler stuff leak, especially in a trailer. So, yeah, like I said, maybe we'll get a teaser 3 with some more, just another minute and a half, just full of great images and stuff that we can speculate on some more.
Yeah.
Or who knows, maybe we'll get that trailer. I don't know exactly how Disney does it as far as, you know, how far is the movie out before they actually do a full-on trailer where it kind of gives you a breakdown of what the story is going to be about. I don't know if there's a set limit. You know, is it 3 months out, 5 months out, whatever. But talk about a big place to do it. I mean, San Diego Comic-Con is the biggest convention in the world, and I could definitely see them.
I think episode 7 will be the dominant story of the comic con.
Yeah, especially if they put a trailer out of it. Because I don't know if they're doing, I haven't heard anything yet about if they're doing any live, streams like they did for Celebration. That would be sick if they did that.
Oh, yeah.
We can all watch that panel together. So we'll see if they take some clues from Celebration and read that we're able to do that.
That would be awesome. Yes.
That would be great to see that. So we got that coming up. So, our next podcast will probably be whatever comes out of San Diego Comic-Con. I'm thinking we might get some really cool stuff to talk about. And I did mention the Force Awakens article that was in Vanity Fair. And like I said, a lot of character reveals and who's playing them. And another big one that came out recently was we did find out that Andy Serkis is playing another CGI character, and he is going as Supreme Leader Snoke. Now, Star Wars is pretty good about having some really quirky names, and this name kind of like, it's kind of stupid to me, but, you know, everybody thought Dooku was a kind of a funny name, but now it's
exactly.
Kind of normal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of goofy, but I'm sure his character is one to be feared, as from what I know. I mean, I'm pretty spoiler-free, and I only allow myself to take in stuff that is actually from, you know, like trailers or from Lucasfilm, because I know they're not going to put anything out there to spoil me.
Right.
So I don't mind seeing that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah, stuff that I read, there's rumors, I can read them, but, you know, whatever. It's not official, so you take it however you want to take it, you know. Yeah, that's an interesting idea, or no, that's kind of stupid type of thing. So, yeah, I was glad to get to see the character names for these various characters, and I'm not even going to attempt her name, the Black Lady, who's playing
Maz,
another CG character.
Maz Kanata. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even want to attempt that name. And, you know, I find it amazing, not amazing, but that Captain Phasma is a female. I'm like, that is cool.
Yeah.
We got obviously and hopefully another major character that's a female. And to be a trooper, that kind of surprising to me to see that, but I'm glad. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, obviously some kind of a different level, because she's in the chrome and all that. So she's obviously an upper ranking type of trooper, but we'll find out what that is. But yeah, like you said, I mean, there's some, and talk about, you know, Andy Serkis being another, I mean, this is his realm right here. This is his go-to stuff when he plays this type of character. So I'm really excited to see what he does with the character of Snoke. I know he's gonna, it sounds from the description I got, it sounds like it's gonna be a really cool looking character. So I'm really excited to see what he does. I know he's gonna blow it out of the park. I mean, all the stuff he's done has always been first rate. So I just thought the name was just kind of a goofy name. So, but like I said, it's one of those things you get used to it. You know, it'll be no big deal after you see the movie. So, and then, you know, talking about, we might have mentioned it. We mentioned it on our last episode about how Josh Trank was pulled off the project of the other anthology film. And now there's a bunch of rumors going around that it was going to be a Boba Fett anthology film, which is kind of cool. I know that a lot of people, a lot of Fett fans out there would love to see that. I would only like to see it if it's something after Return of the Jedi. And I've talked about this before, seeing him get out of the Sarlacc pit. And that's what I want to see after that. I'm not necessarily interested in what happens, you know, before that. I mean, we kind of already got his, we know his origin story, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'd rather see something after Return of the Jedi. What do you think?
Yeah, I think after Return of the Jedi would probably be the best spot. The only other thing that they could do as far as before that would be as a teen, as a older teenager or early in 20s when he breaks away from being the kid that doesn't know what he's doing or not sure of himself into the confident Boba Fett. But then, you know, that's, I don't know, is that really an interesting spot to go?
You know, when, like you said, when he gets the suit and all that, I mean, I guess there could be some really cool, interesting stories that you can tell. But like I said, this goes into the same realm as like Rogue One and stuff that, or even the prequel trilogy, where we kind of know that certain things can and can't happen. You
right.
know what I mean?
So, exactly.
So how creative you can get, yeah, you can get some really cool stories, but ultimately you know that Boba Fett isn't gonna die in any of this stuff. And not necessarily that the story has to be about what's going to happen to him, but when you right. go into movies and you know that certain things can't happen, I don't know how I mean, it really happen. Knock it out of the park.
Yeah, it does take away things. You know that yeah. he wouldn't die, so you know that no matter what he gets into, he's going to get out of it. And right. actually, you know, picking up after Return of the Jedi would be cool because you could also always play the story to where, you know, he knows he's dead, but he's, I mean, everybody knows he's dead, but he's not.
Right.
So he could yeah. play off yeah. of that, you know. Can you imagine a more mysterious character than what we already had, and then all of a sudden, you know, everybody thinks he's dead, and then he's not.
Right, I know.
You
know,
he exactly. turned into a different character.
Yeah, like, and like I said, with Rogue One, you know, we know it's about them stealing the Death Star plans. So, you know, he's going to have to, Gareth Edwards is going to have to really, I know what his intent is to make a really gritty war-type film. And I think that's what's going to intrigue everybody, because we're already going to know certain things can't happen. I mean, we're already going to steal the plans, and then somehow they're going to get it to the Rebels, but it's yeah. going to be kind of fun to see a gritty, like, war film, and maybe there is going to be some prizes, especially now that we know that there could be some interaction between the Star Wars Rebels animated series and Rogue One. We could right. see some characters, so that kind of makes it kind of fun to go and see something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. Even though it's a story that we already know the ending, I think it's yeah. exciting because obviously I would think that Bail Organa and Mon Mothma would be there. If Bail Organa's there, you would have to assume a young Leia's got to be somewhere in there because she was involved in it. And possibly Admiral Akbar could yeah. be in there around that time.
Sure.
I mean, don't know yet because he didn't come in it until Return of the Jedi, but he could have been involved in that area of it at some point. So,
yeah, we'll see. It's like I said, it just depends on who's what they do with the story. And now we have this story group, and I have full confidence now, like with this story group and with Marvel, you know, teaming with Lucasfilm and having the great writers that they do. Kind of jump on board and make sure these things are going to be tight stuff. So I think we're in for some really cool treats. Hey, yeah. coming out of you know, going back to San Diego Comic-Con, we found out, Chris, we've been talking about this earlier, that we're going to get a exclusive 6-inch figure from San Diego Comic-Con, and we were both just like chomping at the bit, figuring out there's got to be a way we want one of these yeah. stormtroopers, right? These Force Awakens stormtroopers.
Yeah, the first order ones. Yeah, and the price on it's not bad, $24.99.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, for a first order or something like that, I can't wait to get my hands on one of those. Like I said earlier, I'm gonna have my hand on that refresh button. if I can't find somebody that's going to San Diego Comic-Con is going to be able to get one. Because these figures, I'm telling you, they're going to be They're already hot items. You were telling me just a few minutes ago, Chris, on eBay. I mean, these things are going for over $100, and they're not even out yet.
Yeah. Yeah, people are pre-ordering them, man. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. So these things are going to be a super hot ticket at San Diego Comic-Con. I don't know how they're going to do it like they did in the past where you can only get one or two or however it is.
Yeah.
But
I mean, obviously, we're going to see it again in the regular line.
Yeah.
But you won't be able to get it in this packaging. But, you know, still, come on. It's the first order Stormtrooper.
The packaging looks really cool, too. I love the packaging on it. So hopefully I can snag one of these. And, of course, all the rest of the Force Awakens merchandise will be releasing on September 4th. So if you don't get one at Comic-Con, you'll probably get the regular one.
Yep.
At a store near you on September 4th. And this is shaping up to be probably one of those big midnight things. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, they've mentioned it. I've seen stories that Toys R Us is going to be doing the midnight thing again. I mean, because it's going to be everything. Lego, Hasbro, everything Episode 7 merchandise-wise is supposedly the same release date, September 4th. And according to what we've seen, you know, we were talking about the Comic-Con, is that we will see a lot of that product at Comic-Con next month. And you know, me and you were discussing this earlier, that I kind of hope that they keep a lot of the products revolved around the First Order Stormtrooper, because we've already seen it, we know what it looks like from the trailer. And like with what we did, we got to the sneak peek. Entertainment Weekly posted this up. We saw the 6-inch Stormtrooper, we saw the Hot Wheels car for the First Order Stormtrooper, and then we saw the Lego Build-A-Figure for the First Order Stormtrooper. So we saw three items, and it was all for the First Order Stormtrooper. So I'm kind of thinking that a lot of the product will be revolved around that. We'll get to see what they're going to look like. So I'm kind of wondering, are we going to actually get to see some of the new products of other characters, or if it's just going to be, we're going to be getting a lot of package revealings, and it'll be the First Order Stormtrooper, and it'll still be kind of a sneak thing coming. I'm wondering exactly how much we're going to get from San Diego.
Yeah, I would imagine that, knowing some of the stuff that Hasbro kind of didn't have a huge presence at Celebration, at least not that I remember.
Right.
Because I think they were saving everything, and they are saving everything that they want to show for San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah, so basically all the product companies that were revealed, they showed nothing at Celebration, which was very disappointing, but you understood why. You know, they want to hold it, you know.
for sure. Yeah, I'm fine with that, because we got a while yet until that September date where we can go pick the stuff up. So,
the companies are under contract. They cannot talk about it until a certain time anyway. Because right. I found that out. New company, Jack Specific, that are doing all the 18-inch, 19-inch, and up to 30, 31-inch action figures that you're seeing at Walmarts and stuff nowadays.
Yeah, yeah.
They're doing a Q&A session with websites. And, of course, Yoda's News is one of them, and I'm the one that's doing the question asking. And okay. That was one of my first questions was, when will we be able to get more info on Episode 7 product? And they couldn't even answer that question. You know, I was like, do we have a certain time that we will, you know, like San Diego Comic-Con, or, you know, coming up in August, we'll be able to share what's going to be coming, that sort of thing. And they wouldn't even answer it. They just said, well, we can't discuss it in any way at this time. So,
yeah,
I guess that means that the companies are not allowed to speak. You know.
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be I think we're going to hopefully get a pretty good reveal at San Diego Comic-Con on what's coming up in September. Some of the stuff that we can start lining up for on that midnight release date to go get. So that's looking good. Hey, another thing that kind of hit big over the last few weeks. Let's talk about comics real quick. And
spoiler alert, if you haven't
read, for sure,
if you haven't read Star Wars number 6 or Darth Vader number 6, Fast forward, because we're going to discuss that right this minute.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Like, it really did blow up. As soon as that issue came out, I mean, social media was going crazy with like, it was especially the Han thing. I mean, let's talk about that for a minute. I finally got a chance to sit down and read that.
And you weren't spoiled.
No. And here's the thing. Like, I totally avoided, like, as I'm going through my social stuff, you know, if I saw anything Star Wars, I kind of zipped through it real quick because I didn't want to even know what was going on. So I went into it spoiler-free and find out that let's talk about now. The big thing, I think, the biggest thing was that Han has a wife. Now, it wasn't really explained yet, right, that it's his ex-wife or his what current wife? Because she just says wife.
Yeah.
So I guess he's still technically married, and her name is actually was it Sama? God, I forgot her name already. I had to look at my issue, but it's like starts with an S, like Sama or Sana or something like that.
Yeah.
But that was like the main thing was that Han has a wife, and everybody's going crazy, like what? And and of course there was some negative stuff, but here's how I took it. Like, here's the thing. This book is after Star Wars, right?
Correct.
So in Star Wars, you know, Han, especially in Star Wars, he was a scoundrel. You know, he was kind of he was a rough character. He was a rogue character, man. He shot people in cold blood. You know, Han shot first, of course. You know, he was a smuggler. I mean, this is he's kind of a rough dude, you know, and I had no problem. I thought it was a great story thing to have him have a wife already, because look at all the stuff that is going to come into it now. It's like, whoa, what happened? How does this affect the whole universe? And this is the stuff I love, and this is why Marvel is doing so well with all their comics, is because they're not afraid to push boundaries like this. I mean, you never saw this stuff in stuff that Dark Horse did, and I don't know if they tried to and they just couldn't. Or it's because of this new story group, and they're just saying, "Hey, let's have fun with this. Let's break some boundaries. Let's push the envelope." And this is why it's so good. It's because they're not afraid to do this kind of stuff, and not afraid to throw out a bombshell like that, and just have look at the community. The Star Wars community went crazy, and this is what you want, right? This is this is compelling story ideas. So I was totally for this. I can't wait to see where this goes and what happens. So. I don't know. That's just my feeling. I know some people might not feel that way, but what do you think, Chris?
Yeah. That's one thing with the story group, that everything that gets done with books or comics, anything of that nature, the story has to go through the story group, and they have to agree, and they have to say, okay, you could do this, but you can't do this sort of thing. And I got spoiled before I got a chance to read the comic, and it wasn't that I was looking, it was by accident. I mean, I stopped by the comic shop, picked up my comics, came home, sat down, was doing some work on the computer, and I was like, okay, I'll read it, you know, after I get done. So I'm doing my stuff, and then all of a sudden this article pops up and says it in the title. So I'm like, well, son of a gun, I miss it, you know. So I went ahead, went over and read it, because, you know, I'm already know what happened. So it wasn't until afterwards, I was like, okay. And I remember, because I had texted you and asked you if you heard the bombshell or however I put it, but I didn't say what it was. Because I didn't want to spoil it to you. And you're like, no, I'm going to sit down and read it here tonight. I said, okay. So I didn't say anything else. And yeah, to sit down and read that, it was kind of like a, oh my God moment. It was kind of like, wow. But, you know, I just kind of let it marinate in my brain throughout the night and overnight, and it's just kind of like next morning, I'm kind of, what's the big deal? This is cool. And you know, everybody was getting upset, well, saying he was a cheater, cheating with Leia. And I'm like, hello, wait a minute, stop. This story happens 3 years before he kisses Leia. There's still a 3-year gap there that we got, you know, needs to be filled in. And I get back on the computer the next day, and our friend Randy Martinez, the artist, had posted up his opinions about it, because he had seen so many people going, blowing up over it. And he's like, look, He said Han Solo is, you know, that's his character. He's a scoundrel. He's just, you know, all of this stuff. He's like, we don't know what's going on with this lady. She says that they're married. We don't know that if it's, they're in the process of a divorce. Does she get killed between now and Empire Strikes Back? Does he get a divorce? We don't know.
Right.
I said, but this is a good thing with the community. It's a good piece of a story. It's a great character building aspect to the story. So at first I was kind of like, well, no, that doesn't work, but why not, you know?
Yeah.
I don't see any problems with it. And then some people made the comment, which I thought was kind of dumb, because she was a black character. I'm like, so what?
Right.
What does that have to do with anything? But
yeah,
you know, at times I just get frustrated because people online just seem to, they just want to complain about anything.
Yeah, I mean, it is a shock. I mean, when you first read it, your first reaction is like, what? No, because you're thinking of like, oh, Han, he was like, you're thinking about him in Return of the Jedi and how he saved everything, and him and Leia got together, and you're like, oh, this can't be. But you got to take yourself out of that and go back to where the story is.
Right.
This is, like you said, where before he, you know, of course he's kind of attracted to Leia, and they have this really cool chemistry together during A New Hope and all that. But, you know, like I said, this is before any of the feelings. This is way before I love you, I know type of thing.
Right.
You know?
And, you know, so, I think a lot of people that got upset are ones that read the three novels from back in the day, the Han Solo adventures. And apparently he wasn't married in those novels. So, but still,
yeah,
who knows? I mean, he could have been married. It just wasn't mentioned in the books because that part of the story wasn't necessary. So who knows?
Yeah. I just think it's a cool thing because it's one of those things that keeps you coming back. And it's, you know, it's like the turn a page type bombshell type of read, and you're like, wow, I can't wait to see where this goes. And like you said, it could be, who knows? I mean, she could be, like you said, it could go anything from she's just lying or they're not married anymore. It was one of those things where he just did it to get past something or some kind of ruse. You just never know where this is going.
And, you know, there's something else that has kind of been a small nag to me ever since 1978, the fact that Chewbacca has a family and a child. But yet he's off with Han doing all these adventures. Why is he not, you know, that's kind of always been something in the back of my mind because it's never mentioned anywhere else except the holiday special. I mean, it's supposedly was part of canon, I guess, but, you know, even though George Lucas said no. But, you know, who knows? That's just something else that we don't know, you know?
Yeah, correct. Did you get a chance to read Darth Vader?
Yes, I did. I say if you haven't read them yet, I would suggest reading Star Wars number 6 first and then Darth Vader number 6 second.
Do you want to mention about Darth Vader number 6?
Yeah, go ahead. I mean, you know, still spoiler alert, everybody. If you haven't read
ahead. You tell me. Go ahead, Chris. You go first.
Have you not read it?
No, I haven't read it.
Oh,
I'm on number 5, but
oh my gosh,
is it a major spoiler like the Han thing, or is it something that kind of ties in?
It ties into what happens at the end of 6 of Star Wars 6. Star Wars number 6. What happens at the end is expanded a little bit in Darth Vader 6.
See, I didn't even realize that there was a tie to those until I saw it a few days after both issues came out. Because they talked about, oh, did you see what happened in Star Wars? I go, no, I haven't. You know, like you said, I haven't read it yet. And then to find out that there was more, like in Darth Vader, like what? There's more spoilery type of big stuff coming up. So
yeah,
I got to number 5 and I haven't read 6 yet.
Yeah,
if it's not a huge spoiler, I don't mind finding out. I'll still read it.
Well, what I had mentioned to you, and I didn't want to spoil it when I mentioned it to you because I knew you hadn't read it, was that But I'll say this, and then if you want me to continue, I'll continue. We kind of find the answer to something we've been wondering about since 1980.
Since 1980. About Vader?
Mm-hmm. About Vader and Luke.
Huh. Ooh, that's intriguing. It must be about whether somehow, whether Vader knew who Luke was, maybe, or something like that.
Basically, yeah.
Okay.
Like I said, if you haven't read these and you don't want to know, skip ahead. At the end of Star Wars 1, we see, Star Wars number 6, yeah, you see a little piece of it. But when you go to Darth Vader number 6, you see Luke and Boba Fett fight.
Maybe I've seen images of this and didn't really piece them together where they came from. Okay.
But basically, at the end, after Luke fights Boba Fett and wins, by the way.
Yeah.
And what's funny, and this is ironic, is that Luke was blind at the moment. So that this kind of, I crack up when I'm reading it because I'm thinking, okay, so to beat Boba Fett, you need to be blind because Han did it and Luke did it. Well, Boba Fett comes to Darth Vader and says, I'm sorry, he got away. And he tells him his name, that it's Skywalker. And then Darth Vader starts having flashbacks.
Yeah.
You see a panel of the Emperor telling him in Revenge of the Sith that in your anger, you killed her. Because in his brain, he's filling in the blanks and he's saying, okay, the Emperor lied to me.
Yeah.
And she did survive long enough to give birth. So basically, you're like, okay, so at this point, right after Star Wars ended, we now know that's when Vader finds out that Luke is still alive. That Luke is actually alive. That he actually has a child. And, of course, he doesn't know about Leia either at this point because it hasn't been brought up.
Wow, cool stuff.
So, that was something that we always wondered. Why didn't Vader sense anything when he was torturing Leia? When did he know? Because we go from Star Wars to 3 years later in Empire where he's on a desperate hunt for Luke.
Right.
Well, he didn't know anything about Luke in Star Wars because the Force is strong with this one. He didn't know who the kid was. And so now we got that answer, basically, that, okay, he found out shortly after. Mm-hmm. And it was because of Boba Fett that he found out.
There we go, bringing Boba Fett back into the fold and more of the story, which is really cool. And this, I mean, as far as these issues and these comics, these Star Wars comics, even the canon one, I mean, and they're just so good. They're written so well. The artistry is great, and they're giving us these wow factor moments. It's like, wow, this is really cool stuff. And then we're only on issue number 6.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting all these, and to know all this stuff this is canon stuff. I mean, this is canon in the Star Wars universe. So
yeah, and for people that might want to start reading the comics that haven't yet, with Star Wars and Darth Vader, you don't have to read like Star Wars 1, Darth Vader 1, and then Star Wars 2. You don't have to read it like that until you get to 6. They're kind of loosely based. It's like, in a way, it was kind of a touch confusing to me at first because I'm like, okay, Darth Vader comes into the Star Wars comic, but yet that point that he comes in the Star Wars comic early on is not in Darth Vader. So I'm like, okay, so it kind of was a bit confusing at first, but basically Vader's doing his story, and it finally meets up at 6, in episode 6. There might be a couple of little nuances here and there, but it really doesn't connect or collide until episode 6, issue 6, And like you said, the Kanan issue, I've read the first two issues. I haven't read the third one yet. I got it, but I haven't read it yet. And I really like what I've read so far. The Leia, which is just basically a 5-issue set, and you've got the first 4 out. The part 5 doesn't come out, I think, until July 1st, and then that'll be done. And Lando picks up next month in July, I think July 8th or something, the second week in July. We get the Lando miniseries started, which is supposed to be just 5 issues, which I was disappointed. I thought it was actually going to be a series, but it's just starting out, I guess. It's just going to be a 5-issue series about Lando.
You know what's great about these, too, is like, as you're reading these, you hear, like, here's what I, when I read a line or a strip that has Han and Leia and their exchanges, especially in the Star Wars series, of course, you actually hear, I can hear Carrie Fisher and Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
And the way that Aaron is writing this is you can almost, you know, read it just like this like dialogue. I mean, it almost sounds the same. So, and even with Luke too, there was a couple issues back. He says something about, you know, he's on the speeder and they're going, you know, they're on the AT, that app. And some of the dialogue just comes directly from some of the other movies. Yeah. And it's just like, man, I can hear them right in my head. It's so cool to do that. And especially yeah. with Vader. And it's just like, oh, man, this is so good. It's like Aaron is tapping into, like he's watching these movies all the time to get the cadence down of how to write. And it's just really cool. That's what I love about it, is putting their voices in as I'm reading it. So it's really good. If you're not reading these, man, do yourself a favor, man. This is really good stuff. And let's go into anything else, though. I mean, what else is going on in the universe that you want to talk about? Anything else, Chris, coming up?
Not that I can think of.
Did we hit everything that we wanted to hit?
I think so. Comic-Con was like the big thing coming up.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, doesn't Star Wars Rebels start here in a couple weeks?
Yeah, definitely. We got the big one-hour premiere coming up. I believe it's as of this recording, just like a week away. So, if you guys haven't seen that, Chris, you haven't seen it, right?
No, I haven't. So,
oh man, you're gonna love this thing. I'm telling you what. I mean, it takes like all the great stuff that was in season one. I mean, it doesn't even hold a candle to what they did in these first two episodes of season two. I mean, it just hits you right from the go and ends up with some great stuff, man. You're gonna love this thing. I can't wait to talk about that because that's coming up in, like I said, about a week or so. So. Look out for that.
June 20th.
June 20th. Okay, there we go. Yeah, so coming up real soon.
This coming Saturday.
Yeah. That is, you guys are going to love that thing. I mean, it's so good. God, anything else? I was trying to think of them. I thought there was something else. But, you know, there's Star Wars Infinity or Disney Infinity 3.0. I really don't know much about that. I know they have some pretty cool merchandise coming out. They have these Rebels characters that look really cool. If you're into collecting everything, those characters look pretty cool.
Yeah, but they're pricey though. You know, one figure is going to be like $15 because it's a game, along with it. So, yeah. I think they're awesome. You got Rebels. You got some Clone Wars characters. Anakin and Ahsoka they've shown, and then we've seen Luke, Leia, and Han, and Chewie. I think, which is going to be great.
Yeah.
So kids will really love that.
Yeah. We got, what else is coming up? Just some quick things, you know, Battlefront, if you guys are into gaming, Battlefront, they're going to show some footage on E3 coming up. There was also this has been talk like this for quite a while, for years now, about Star Wars having its own channel, or Disney having like a Star Wars Lucasfilm type channel, which I think is cool. I mean, of course, there's plenty of stuff that you can put on there. I mean, it would be a lot of like what they do with, like TNT and TBS, where they show like the same movie over like six times in a row. Like, you know, Shawshank Redemption's on like every 2 hours on TNT, it seems like. But so you'd have a lot of just continuously same stuff. But I guess it could work. I mean, with all the Clone Wars stuff, the Rebel stuff, the movies, Ewok stuff. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. Even when you start to think about it, you go, wow, there is quite a bit. And if you just made it like a Lucasfilm channel, I mean, all the Indiana Jones stuff you can do, the TV show that was popular, that was so good back in the
day. Because Indiana Jones is a part of the Disney deal. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
that would be awesome.
When you think about it. Yeah, I mean, that would be kind of cool to be able to just turn on a Lucasfilm channel and seeing, you know, having a movie play or an episode of Clone Wars or whatever, even the micro series they can put on there. I mean, there's tons of stuff, but I don't know. I mean, that'd be kind of cool. Yeah, it'd be kind of cool to have on in the background. You know, you can always put on, if you're like me and you're cruising around channels on an evening, and you're like, man, there's nothing on. Hey, let's put on the Lucasfilm channel and just have
whatever's on is good.
Yeah, so who knows if they ever do that, but it'd be kind of neat to have that. Other than that, though, I mean, there's, like I said, a lot of stuff is probably going to be hitting within the next month. I'm assuming they're going to save a lot of stuff for San Diego Comic-Con. So
yeah,
hopefully we'll get some big stuff coming out for them. But I guess now, Chris, we'll get into our main topic.
Yep, sounds good.
All right.
Hello there. You're listening to the Sarlacc Pit Podcast, an elegant podcast for a more civilized age. You can go about your business. Move along. Move along.
Talk about earlier in the beginning of the show, we're going to be focusing on the Clone Wars animated series, and we're talking about our favorite characters in the Clone Wars, and more specifically, our favorite characters that were introduced in the Clone Wars animated series. And this is a series that, I'll be honest, like, at first, it kind of came out of nowhere. It was a series that I had started DVRing, and I think I might have mentioned this before, that it was about 5 or 6 episodes in before I even started watching this. And one day I was at home, it might have been a weekend day, and I had 5 or 6 of these saved on the DVR. And I was like, let's give this animated series a shot. Because I wasn't really big on animated stuff. You know, cartoons, I thought, oh, I'm too old for cartoons. And it's
yeah.
going to be, you know, it's going to be this same old stuff I watched as a kid. Not a lot of substance to it, just a lot of action and whatever. But then, you know, after the first few episodes, it dawned on me, like, wow, this isn't like a traditional, you know, just a cartoon. You know, this was an animated series. This is something where they really paid attention to the story, and this is like canon stuff. And I didn't even realize that at first. I mean, this goes into the bank of Star Wars canon, and this is a series that kind of held the torch for Star Wars for a long time, for many years, because we had no idea that we were going to be getting new stuff and with all the Disney stuff, that the acquisition and all that. So this is a series that held the mantle for Star Wars for a long time. And I think we have to give some credit to that all the amazing stuff they did. And it did bring a lot of people back into Star Wars in a big way, especially me. I mean, it got me into what I'm doing right now. It got me into podcasting, because I started watching this series and I go, wow, this is beyond just like I said, this is beyond a cartoon, Chris. This is like some really heavy, heavy stuff that was going on here, especially towards the end of it. You really got into some crazy heavy story elements.
That first episode, Ambush, just kind of
set the tone. It did. it set the tone for the series. Like, wow, this is more than just, like I said, this is more than just a fun action packed cartoon. So, we'll start off, Chris. I have 5. I know you. Did you have more than 5?
Well, I narrowed mine down to 5.
Okay. You had mentioned just mentioned a couple that you were talking about earlier to me. I know you had mentioned a couple of characters that you wanted to throw out there besides your top 5. What was the 2 you were talking about?
Well, one of them was Asajj Ventress. She was introduced in the micro series. I thought what they did with her as a character, she started out, even early on, was kind of just a throwaway character. But at some point, they actually started to bring her in and develop her and got her away from Dooku. And the way they developed her in the years down the road, I thought was fantastic. I thought, especially the fact that she started to seem like she could even turned to the good side, where she started thinking about things differently. She saw certain things, and in a way, it really changed her life. And you can see that they had so much more potential for that character than what was already there. And we actually got to see early on some of the really dark and violent acts that she was capable of, that they actually cut from some of the episodes briefly. And to get those, you had to get it on DVD to actually see some of the things, which was, I thought was fantastic. Yeah. And yeah. And you know, one of the other ones was that I just thought was a fun character was Imbo. I mean, he wasn't.
Oh, good choice.
Yeah. You know, he wasn't in there that much. He came on as soon as you saw him. I'm like, oh, that's going to be a fan favorite, because he was just fun. The way, what he used with his, the way he jumped around, the way he used his, helmet, the hat thing. I just like, people are going to love him. And then, you know, Dave Filoni, they seemed surprised that people loved him so much. I'm like, not really. He's cool. You know, he was just a cool character. Yeah. There wasn't a whole lot of substance to it because he was a bounty hunter. They really didn't delve into it that much, but they did extend it and bring him into some more episodes, which I thought was fun. And that's one thing I really liked about this series, that Dave Filoni and the writers, they listened to us. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, they brought characters back that we liked,
yes,
that they had no intentions of keeping them for very long. And so, you know, which that was great. So, and then we get down to the top, basically my top five. I don't have any set order except for number one, but, you right. know, I narrowed it down to probably my five favorite characters that I think about when I think of the Clone Wars.
Okay, let's do this. I'll start off, but I got to get a comment on the two. For sure, like, I know Carl is right along with you over at the Wampas Lair. Like, Embo, he has a cat named Embo, so he loves the character of Embo, and there's always a debate on who is the best bounty hunter, Embo or Cad Bane, and I'll have a comment about that later, Carl. But, yeah, Embo, great character. I mean, like you said, he has this air about him, like he's some kind of a mystical ninja-type samurai, mm-hmm. you know, especially with the hat. Of course, he was voiced by Dave Filoni. But some of the stuff he did with his hat, you know, he had a cool dog and all that. But yeah, I was actually a great character to introduce. And of course, you're talking about, Asajj. I mean, some of the character arcs that we got with her, like you said, she went from like bad, and then we got some of her bad backstory about how she was a Jedi and the stories that evolved around that. Some flashbacks, so that was really cool. And we even saw her fight alongside Obi-Wan Kenobi, and when they fought against Savage and Darth Maul, and you see Obi-Wan with a red lightsaber, hers actually, which was kind of neat. And some of the story elements with her, like you said, that one episode where she actually killed it was a trooper. I can't remember which trooper it was, but he actually kissed him before he went down. So just some really, you know, it went from really dark stuff to where we see why she went that way, and then towards the end where she started working with, you know, Obi-Wan just in certain instances, and some of the Jedi in certain story elements. So two great characters that were introduced, and we'll talk about some more here. I'm going to start with my number five, Chris, and I'll give you just a quick, I guess a quick little taste of this character and what he is all about in the Clone Wars. Check this out.
Look, brother, a fortune.
Your fortune will be the demise of Kenobi. Credit chips are meaningless without a plan to survive. The Jedi are hunting us.
We will be forced to make a stand.
And we will deal with them.
They are too many. To continue, we need one singular vision. My vision.
Brother, let us share our strength. There is no need for dominance between us.
Always two there are, my brother. A master and an apprentice. And you are the apprentice. So, it is time for a lesson.
You have grown so powerful.
And I shall complete your training. Not as your brother, but as your stuff.
There you go, Chris. That's my number five. It is Savage Opress. And you heard that, especially in that clip right there. Savage wanted to be kind of an equal with his brother. And this is later on in the story arc of Savage Opress. But he quickly learned, you know, especially with his brother, that there is only two, and there's supposed to only be two, a master and apprentice, and he was definitely the apprentice, nowhere near the skill of a Darth Maul. But I love this character because, you know, we got to see another Sabrak come into the fold. He started off, of course, with the a character we just talked about, Asajj Ventress. He was picked by Asajj to be her slave and a new apprentice of Count Dooku, and we saw, you know, him enchanted by Mother Talzin and the Night Sisters on Dathomir, how he was transformed into this monstrous, just wrecking ball of a character, just a brute force. You know, his lightsaber combat wasn't necessarily the best, but he's just an overpowering presence. I mean, he went after and killed a Jedi. I can't remember the Jedi that he killed, but in the one scene, but he went through a couple of them. And like we saw, I guess that we see this transformation. We see him as a small, just a character who was kind of, you know, torn. He was little. All he wanted to do was save his brother, especially on, what was the world that they were on?
I don't remember.
But I guess it was on Dathomir that they did all this. But I don't know. I just love the transformation, how he got transformed into this hulking beast. And eventually his story arc ended with probably my favorite, actually it is my favorite animated fight so far, was between him, Darth Maul, and Sidious. That was just, as far as fights, like I said, it's my top as far as the animated series going through the Clone Wars and Rebels. Top fight is definitely that fight between those three. Just some great stuff in there. Just his whole transformation. And although he was a bad guy, you kind of almost feel a little sorry for him, because he was kind of taken and kind of almost forced into some of this stuff, especially with Talzin and Dooku. And the training scene with him and Dooku was so great. Go back and watch that again. That was some great stuff. And, of course, he was voiced by Clancy Brown. Just the voice also, combined with this hulking character, made into a great character that was introduced into this series. And my number five is Savage Opress. Is he on your list, Chris?
No, he's not. Okay, he was
good. We're going different then. That's cool.
He was in, like, the top ten, but, you know, I really did like the premiere of this character and what they did early on. The one thing that kind of always bothered me was once Darth Maul came into the mix, it kind of, I don't know.
Overshadowed to me, him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he overshadowed him and kind of made him like his confidence was shaken with his brother, you know. But
yeah, well, so, you know, like I said earlier, it was just, you know, the whole thing starting from the early part where he's forced, you know, he's kind of stolen from his tribe. He's forced to watch his brother Feral. That's the guy, I lost his name, but it's Feral, killed. You know, he's manipulated him into becoming this killer. You know, he's treated like a slave. So there's kind of like, of course he's a bad guy, but there's a little bit of sympathy for him because he was kind of forced into all this. But just a really great looking character. And just the story arc that he had, it was really cool. I really enjoyed everything they did with Savage. So what's your number five, Chris?
Let's see. Mine aren't in really any certain order except for my number one. So I'm just going to start off with the clones.
Okay.
I just always thought it was so amazing that all of the various different clones that we got, and we got various episodes like the one that we had at the outpost where they had to defend the outpost by themselves, and of these different characters, and it just kept, even every episode just kept amazing me as how they could bring us a new clone we have never seen before, and it had distinct character, voice, and everything about them was completely different from other clones. And probably some of the best episodes is when they had the little short arc with 99 in there. And 99 kind of, even though, you know, showing him as being like this bad batch, but yet he brought out a lot of character in that group of clones and made them see what was important about what they were doing. Because that particular group of clones wasn't working well together, and they were all about individual, worrying about their own thing, and to finally bring them together. But I mean, there's so many clones, just countless clones. Even with the new episodes that Lucasfilm had just released that aren't completed, we've got some more new clones, which is just, I mean, every time you turn around, every time you turn around, you got a new clone. And there's so many great characters with these clones.
Mm-hmm. There's so many cool clones that were introduced in the series, like you said. I mean, from going from Rex, you know, Fives and Echo and all these guys.
Yeah. And, just and, countless yeah, number of them.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And they all had their own, like, and what's funny is, like, they're clones, but they all had their own individual, you know, character quirks and character. I mean, they all had different haircuts. Even though they talked the same, they had some different ways of speaking. Or mannerisms, but you know they wanted to, you know, be looked at as individuals, and that's why they had the different haircuts and stuff like that, and they changed their names, and they had their specific names that they would go by. So tons of great. I mean, you could do a whole episode on just favorite clones, of course.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we might do that down the road. So
you might have to do that.
Yeah, someday. That would be a great episode.
I'm gonna go with actually, I kind of rank these as my, you know, from 1 to 5, and so my number 4 is definitely probably was the funniest character that came out of this animated series.
Blasters, cannons, that glowy thing.
You mean a lightsaber?
That's it. My sweet mother always said, "Son, if one hostage is good, 2 are better, and 3, well, that's just good business." But you know what I always say, speak softly and drive a big tank.
Things?
What kind of menace have you brought to my planet now? First, you lose this system and Grievous comes in and destroys my entire stronghold, leaving me here to just ravage through the leftovers of my once great empire. And now, these 2 horned men show up. Who are these horny-headed maniacs? They don't seem like normal Jedi. Well, that settles it. Those traitors are no longer my men. Am I speechless? Leave you alone with the 2 crazies?
Yeah, okay.
So that's, we are pirates. We don't even know what that means.
And that's my funniest line ever from Hondo speaking to Darth Maul at that one point, talking about insolence. And Hondo Onaka, a Weequay male pirate, and obviously the captain of his own gang there in this pirate group. And I think we first saw him he's from the planet Florum. During the years of the Galactic Republic. So this guy is voiced by Jim Cummings, and I read this online somewhere, and I don't know if it's true, but it makes total sense. Jim Cummings said he drew inspiration from Ricardo Montalban, and more specifically the character of Khan that he played in the Star Wars film, or the Star Trek film, The Wrath of Khan. And I don't know if that's true, but it makes total sense because he does have this Montalbani Khan kind of style to him, and it's so great, you know. And this is a character where he was always funny, and he kind of towed the line of being like a good guy and a bad guy. But you can't you can't help but just love this character. I mean, he's so funny. He had so many great quips and one-liners, always kind of ending up in certain situations with the Jedi or with you know, like I said, my favorite scene, Darth Maul, and how he went over the insolence line, and how, you know, we don't even know what that means because we're pirates, we're kind of stupid, we just kind of go where the money is. But I think one of the other great things is to find out is that this character is going to return in the Rebels animated series. And if you saw the trailer, he is actually in the trailer. So we're going to see more of Hondo and more of Jim Cummings and his style. And I can't wait to see what they do with him in Rebels. I mean, great character introduced in the Clone Wars animated series. And I'm so happy that we're going to see him in the Rebels series. My 4th favorite new introduced character is Hondo Onaka. Is he on your list, Chris?
Yes, he is, actually.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
We'll just move right into it. That's that'll be my next one. I'm going to talk about it.
Okay, good.
You know,
good.
You're right. I think he was a character I think that they brought in, and he wasn't planned to be a major character or anything like that.
Yeah, but he's just a fan favorite, yeah.
He's just such a fantastic character, like you said. It's just hilarious, has great lines. He plays every side he can play. All he's looking out for is money. And him dealing with Obi-Wan, it's just been some fantastic interactions throughout the series. And it, like, yeah, the insolence, we don't even know what that means. Great line. So many great lines, him laughing, him, you know, I love the how he dealt with the traitors in his own group. You know, he's just like, well, he couldn't, you know, he couldn't fault them because they're pirates. But, you know, just like you said, it's a fantastic character. Love it. Yeah. And like you said, I cannot wait to see what he's going to be like and how he's going to be at this point in the storyline with Rebels.
Yeah, it seems like they're going to go, at least from the trailer, I mean, they showed him a lot with hanging out with the Rebels, our Rebels character, our Rebels crew. So I don't know if there's a shift in his loyalties are coming up, but we'll see. But, man, he, like I said, he's just one of those characters that from the moment we got him, he just instantly became a fan favorite. So definitely list of top five characters introduced in the Clone Wars. And I'm going to go with my, I guess we're on number three now. And I kind of, these next three are really interchangeable. I mean, I think they equally have weight into the Clone Wars series. And these can go in any order. I'm just going to go with kind of what I had planned out here.
I kind of think our top three is going to be the same.
Yeah, probably. And actually, this number three is somebody we kind of already talked about as far as the clones, but mine is Captain.
My name is Rex. Captain. 501st Clone Battalion. I fought with Commander Tano during the Clone Wars. And a friend of hers is a friend of mine.
Rex, keep those ties off our back!
Working on it!
I hope you brought a better class of soldier than those stormtroopers.
Yeah, Chris, my number three. I went with Captain Rex. You talked about the clones earlier, but of course there's some standout clones, especially talking like Cody and stuff like that. But I went with Captain Rex. Here's a character that a lot of that clip came from the season two trailer for Rebels. And I'll tell you what, I think he got the biggest roar of not approval, but of just excitement. Because when he came on the screen, it was even probably, if not the same, maybe more than seeing Vader on the screen. This character has such a huge fan following. And I think the one thing that I kind of gravitated towards Rex is because he was kind of like Anakin's go-to man. He was Anakin's right-hand man, Anakin's clone captain. And, you know, from the very first episode, he made an impression on us. You know, him and, like I said, he's part of the 501st, the famed 501st Legion. He even says that. You heard that in the clip there.
Yeah.
you know, the 501st Legion. So just him and all the adventures he had with Anakin. And this is what is so compelling about this is, like, he obviously made it through the Jedi Purge, Order 66. He made it through. And just the story, I mean, how can they do this in the Rebels? I mean, are we going to get a flashback of how he made it through Order 66? I mean, this is some really cool and exciting stuff that we could see. And I'm so excited to see if they do that. I mean, wow, how cool would it be to find out how Rex made it through Order 66? I'm so looking forward to that. But this character, like I said, all the stuff that he did, he was always like, honorable, and he not only honorable, but he questioned some things, and we get into the individuality of these. And there were some episodes with him and Krell. I mean, remember those episodes?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
The Umbara arc was very, very powerful, and some of the stuff that he went through, and the emotional and not only emotional, but just. Like, he had to answer these questions. Like, he had a gun on Krell, and he was going to shoot him because of the stuff he did, and he couldn't do it. It took another – I can't remember what other trooper did it. But he couldn't do it. So there's obviously some turmoil going on with Rex being able to kill a Jedi. He couldn't do it. So just – I mean, everything he did, just – and a cool look. He had the ears on the helmet. Just everything about him was really cool. I know there's a lot of Rex fans out there, so he had to be my number three favorite character introduced in the Clone Wars, Captain Rex. Now, you, Chris, you kind of lump him in with the clones, right?
No, I didn't. I put him separate because, yeah, he's separate. You know, yeah. I couldn't like you said, I couldn't just lump him in with the clones. But, you know, yeah. I agree with everything that you said because, you know, we don't have Commander Cody on the list because he was introduced in Revenge of the Sith. And we got to see just a small glimpse of the characterization between Cody and Obi-Wan in the movie. And then, of course, we got to see more of it in the Clone Wars. But when Rex came about, we say, okay, this is his right-hand man like Cody was to Obi-Wan. And basically, he was the right-hand man to Anakin and Ahsoka because they were together for so long. And then at some point, he went with Ahsoka on certain missions.
Yeah, true, yeah.
Like you said, he was just he was a fantastic character. Like I said, everybody's just excited about him coming on, still coming up in the series. And we'll see, how does he survive Order 66? How did he get past the programming? How did all this work? You know, that stuff that hopefully we'll get to see and get answers to. And, I mean, he was just absolutely fantastic. I loved him as a character, the way he ran his troops. And one of my favorite episodes with him was the one, and I don't remember the name of it, it's the one I was talking about with the clones when they were all at that, defending their base. And from the Empire coming in and Grievous coming in. And you had Commander Cody and Captain Rex together to go meet them and inspect them. And I just thought that was a great episode, working them two working together. And then, of course, there was other episodes like the one where one of the clones was a traitor and they were trying to figure out who was the traitor in that particular episode. And you had Cody and Rex working together and not talking to the other clones, keeping everything between them. And, you know, I just always liked that dynamic when they got a chance to put Cody and Rex together.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just, the way he worked with Anakin and then the way he adapted to Ahsoka and grew to respect Ahsoka and treat her as if she was the same as Anakin, which she was. And I just, you know, just like you said, fantastic character.
Yeah, I think I totally forgot about that. And you're right. I mean, he had just as much interaction with Ahsoka as he did with Anakin, or close to it. And to see them get to obviously possibly reconnect all these years later in the Rebel series, that'll be fun to see if they do that and how they interact together. And like I said earlier, you know, he was just one of the first clones to understand that he's his own person and he began to establish himself as a unique individual and independent.
Yeah.
You know, to have independent thoughts and feelings, so that was really cool to see that.
You mentioned Rex and Ahsoka, possibility of them being together in the Star Wars Rebels. That'll be interesting to see if anything's even mentioned about Vader between them two.
Yeah, right, you know, yeah, for sure. Yeah, wait till you guys see the first episode.
Yeah, maybe there'll be, maybe nothing said, but there could be a look, you know. You never know, mm-hmm. But...
Oh, yeah.
You know, I always thought that Rex was sent with Ahsoka in a way to kind of teach her a little bit when Anakin wasn't there. But, you know, I just love the way those three actually interacted and the way they developed and moved on. I thought they did a great job with it.
Go ahead with yours, Chris. You got your third.
That was number three, Captain Rex.
Oh, okay, good. So we're on the same page then. And my last two, like I said, you can put them in either order. But I'll just go my number two as a person that was introduced, obviously, in the very first episode or the movie. And it was finding out that Anakin had a Padawan was a huge, huge thing to happen in the Star Wars universe. Here is how she kind of ended up.
I'm sorry, Master, but I'm not coming back.
Ahsoka, wait! Ahsoka, I need to talk to you!
Why are you doing this?
The Council didn't trust me. So how can I trust myself?
What about me?
I believed in you. I stood by you.
I know you believe in me, Anakin, and I'm grateful for that. But this isn't about you. I can't stay here any longer. Not now.
The Jedi Order is your life. You can't just throw it away like this. Ahsoka, you are making a mistake.
Maybe. But I have to sort this out on my own. Without the Council. And without you.
I understand. More than you realize, I understand wanting to walk away from the Order.
I know.
So my number two is Ahsoka, Chris, and as you heard right there, probably one of the most powerful moments in the Clone Wars series, and definitely an episode that kind of just everybody just listening to this, the way it faded out, it was different. It was kind of like a huge clue to me, like, wow, this is a turning point, and could that have been the last episode of the series? And it was, in all intents and purposes, the final episode of the series until we got that bonus stuff of season 6. But I'm just hearing that again. You're just like, wow, the power of that. And how Ahsoka came into the series when I first saw it. And I was like a lot of you guys out there. I was just like, oh man, I don't know about this. You know, this is kind of isn't working for me. You know, Anakin has a Padawan. Okay, I get it. Fine, whatever. But the way she kind of acted, and she was calling him Sky Guy and this and that, and it was like, oh man, I don't know, you know. And I know a lot of you guys out there were like I was as well, but to watch her kind of grow in the series and throughout all the seasons, and to where she ended up in that last episode was so kind of like heart-wrenching, to see her kind of walk away. And that one instance where she goes, like Anakin goes, hey, you have no idea, I want to walk away sometimes too, because obviously he's in love with Padme and all this. And to see her turn around and she goes, I know, like she knows exactly what Anakin's doing, what he's going through, and she understands it, and she's not going to get in the way, but she has her own stuff to deal with. And she was kind of betrayed a little bit, and she was let down by the Jedi Council, and it was just like, hey, I can't do this anymore. I gotta leave. And it was so kind of heart-wrenching. And you're just like, oh man, I can't believe she's leaving. And come full circle to, again, here we go with the Rebel series. She makes her comeback in the Rebel series. And she's an older character. The way they drew her was different. She's obviously many, many years older now. And to see where she's going to end up, this shows you how powerful a character, like we talked about Rex, he's coming back. Ahsoka, she's coming back. That's the power of these characters and what the Clone Wars did. And she went from, like, I didn't really care for her to where I was like, wow, I was totally bummed when I saw she was leaving. And just a huge story and moment, huge powerful moment, huge moment in the saga was her walking away. And when you guys see the season 2 premiere, you're going to be blown away by what happens. And this is no spoiler that we are building up to quite possibly one of a huge moment in the Star Wars saga between Ahsoka and her former master, which is Darth Vader. And I think we all know where maybe this Rebel series may take us, to where the ultimate showdown between Vader and Ahsoka. And that's going to be a huge, huge moment in Star Wars. So I had to put her, like I said, Chris, you can put her at number one. My top two are kind of interchangeable. I mean, I think she did so much for this series. And Ashley Eckstein also did a huge amount for this character. She is so nice, so generous, that I think she alone, just the way she is, how generous she is, alone made this character like a fan favorite. So, Ahsoka Tano, is she on your list, Chris?
Yeah, actually, she would be my number one.
And okay. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm sure I see that.
You know, and I liked her from the very beginning. I think partly because of that. I remember before this, the movie premiered, before the series started on TV, Ashley Eckstein did a piece with Lucasfilm at behind the scenes on it, talking about it coming up. And I basically just kind of like fell in love with the character just by watching her. Because you could see that bubbly personality, and I just couldn't wait to see how Ahsoka was going to be. And then, yeah, she was a little rough around the edges at the beginning, and yes, the Sky Guy and the Snips, but come on, she was a young teenager.
True, yeah,
and
right.
That's how she would be. And I was just so excited about the potential of this character. And I, being a Star Wars fan, I'm proud of how she turned out. I'm proud to see a lot of the fans that hated her or didn't like her at the beginning grew to love her. And, I mean, we all know how Ashley Eckstein has done with the character, with her product line, and using Ahsoka as one of the main characters in that. And the way this character has been adopted by the young girls in the galaxy and adult women and adult men, you know, she's a fantastic character. The way how she starts out to that last scene that you played, I'm still kind of really disappointed in that part of it. I mean, I just hated that that's the direction she chose to take. I don't know what I wanted to happen, mm-hmm. but that was just, I mean, I don't know, maybe disappointing, maybe it's not the right word, you know, sad maybe or whatever, but right. Yeah, I really wasn't crazy about, okay, she chose to walk away, but you know, Dave Filoni and George, we know that they've discussed this characters throughout until her death, basically. Right. And so they've got a plan, and obviously it's going to pick up in Star Wars Rebels because we've already seen her. And mm-hmm. so I'm anxious to see what all's going to happen with that. And I'm thinking we're going to have some gut-wrenching stuff coming. And I mean, in all the episodes and the early year with her, you see her grow. She goes on missions by herself. The missions that she goes on, like with the arc with the zombies that she went on with the other Jedi.
Oh, yeah.
Them two got to go out by themselves and take care of a mission on their own. She did some teaching. She did all kinds of stuff, and just a fantastic arc with this character and her ups and downs and her growth. And you look at just in 5 years where she started and where she ended 5 years later, it's just basically an entirely different person, which is fantastic.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely. I think what's so exciting is, like I said, we get to see her again. And this is a setup that, you know, what everybody wants to see. I mean, I think everybody wants to see, you know, Ahsoka and Darth Vader face off. I mean, they have such a history together. And like you heard in that clip I played, you know, Anakin is just devastated. I mean, he doesn't want her to go. And that's just going to be so crazy heart-wrenching to see that if, for some reason, Ahsoka ever dies on screen, you know, being killed by Darth Vader at a huge confrontation would be like a truly powerful way to finally go out. And just like the dialogue that they could have together, like,
yeah,
it would really show a lot into where or how far Anakin / Darth Vader is. You know, is he fully, like, I've always thought that Darth Vader never is truly like a full-on Sith. I think there's just so much like inner turmoil going on with him.
Yeah,
there could be a point in the series where he, if he's facing off against Ahsoka, there could be an exchange of like old past stuff, and that would be truly a huge.
And you know, moment. I think Lucasfilm and Disney, they know they have to at some point have those two meet.
Yeah,
and fight, sure. Because they've, in a way, they've kind of painted themselves into a corner where they have no choice. They have to. The community, the Star Wars fans, they expect it. And I think there's no way around it, that they're going to have to address it.
Yeah, and this is one of those things, like we've talked about before with other things. Like, we don't necessarily know they're going to go there, but it's kind of like, you know, don't you have to?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is so huge. This is something that we want. And even though we know it may be coming, we're just so excited for like where, how it could end. And just like I said, like the dialogue that can be exchanged, it could be a major thing. So, man, that's going to be great. It's going to be so fun.
I mean, we know, you know, once we saw that she appeared on Rebels, we know she survived. So automatically, you know, there's got to be some kind of a, you know, collision somewhere.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And like I said, man, wait till you see the premiere. I mean, No spoilers, but it'll be fun, man. You can't wait to talk about that after that hits. Number one for me, like I said, that one and two, I mean, Ahsoka and this character are kind of like tied. I mean, these two are my favorite. And I've made no, you guys all know that if you listen to the show a little bit, that I'm a huge Western fan. You know, Clint Eastwood is my all-time favorite Western, all the characters that he did, he's always been my favorite. And to me, this character embodies more so Clint Eastwood than he does the original inspiration, which was Lee Van Cleef. And of course, I'm talking about Cad.
Excuse the interruption. As I was saying, Bounty Hunter, I have need of your services.
I'm listening.
I need a Jedi holocron.
To get a holocron, I'd have to break into the Jedi Temple. It's impossible. Not to mention deadly.
Perhaps your reputation has been exaggerated.
I want a rogue-class starfighter with elite weapons, cloaked, thing devised, the works.
Oh,
and triple my usual rates.
Your price is of no concern. I will also provide you with the means to get inside the temple.
You've got a deal.
All right, Chris. Of course, like I said, Cad Bane, from the moment he was introduced in the season finale of episode or season one, I mean, who didn't love this character? I mean, I know there's some that, you know, I don't know. Some people don't like him, but of course, the whole look of him, the voice, he's just a badass, and he obviously is the main dude. He's the main bounty hunter in this era, and it's easy to see why. I mean, this guy over the course of this series, he's faced off against Obi-Wan. He had a huge, massive fight with him, and I always forget the dang character that was introduced in episode one. You see him in the background. He's like the dreaded guy. Everybody's yelling at me right now. He got the dreads and everything, kind of like the soul Jedi. God, what is his name? I always draw a blank on his name. I hate that. Anyway, he had a huge fight with these two, and I mean, he's showing off all his goodies. I mean, he's showing off his flamethrower. He's got these jet boots. He's had some stuff with the Emperor that we see. I mean, the Emperor goes to him and says, hey, I need your services. You are the man in this galaxy that can get things done. Just his whole look, like I said, he was based off Lee Van Cleef, of course, but I always see with the hat and everything, I always see Clint Eastwood in this character and some of the stuff that he does. I mean, the whole Western thing. I mean, he looks like he's coming right out of a Western with his cloak. He's got the six shooters, you know what I mean? Of course, Star Wars style. The blasters at both sides, you know? I mean, just everything about him. I mean, I expect him to ride in on some kind of a Star Wars styled horse or something like that. But of course, he's got his own stuff. But he's always been like my favorite character. I've always loved the stuff they've done with him. And just all the characters that he's interacted with in this series and all the, he's shown actually, Chris, this is actually different from like a Boba Fett or anything like that. Django did a little bit, but we definitely see Cad Bane on why he is, you know, the main bounty hunter in the galaxy is because he's shown it in this series. He's gone many battles, he's had many fights, and he's always walked away. And He doesn't shy away from a fight either. He's ready to fight. He's actually wielded a lightsaber against Obi-Wan before. So he's done a lot of stuff. And I don't know if we're going to see him in the Rebel series. I don't think there's been any clues yet, but there's definitely a possibility. We don't really know what happened to this character. And, you know, like I said, just all the stuff that he did in the Clone Wars. And just I think he's a fan favorite, but I know there's some that – debate between him and Django and Boba and who is the best. But for me, it's no question Cad Bane is the badass in the bounty hunter realm. So What do you think, Chris? What do you? He's not on your list?
No, he is. That's my last one. That would be my. I was going to put him at like two, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like you said, he is. I didn't like his voice at the beginning. I was like, man, that voice just bugged me at the beginning. I was like, it just didn't feel right. But it grew on me to a point to where I can't imagine any other way. It's to me, it's perfect. But I mean, you're right. It's like he walked right out of a Western with the hat, even having like the toothpick in his mouth. His dialogue. I would think, you know, between him and Django, I think he'd beat Django in a heartbeat. That's just, you know, Boba Fett, that'd be a better, when Boba Fett's grown, that'd be a better battle between them two. But I mean, all, like you said, all the things he did, he fought with a lightsaber, he held his own against everybody he fought. A couple of the, like, you know, that one episode where they kidnapped the, to go in to get the holocron, and they kidnapped the group. They end up kidnapping Padme and those people. And the way he called her little lady, that's kind of like, okay, that's a Western homage right there.
And
that the one guy, he says, I'm not going to stand and listen to this. And he starts to walk away. And he just pulls out a gun and caps him right there. It's cold blood, ruthless. And you're just like, yes, exactly. Now this is a bounty hunter. And, yeah, I mean, like you said, the Emperor calling him and saying, I need your expertise. And I love that line where he says, it's triple the fee. And he's like, it's no concern to me. He's like, you're a mount. He's like, I don't care. You know, it kind of makes you wonder, you know, the Empire's just loaded with money. Do they pay the people that they're, you know, supposed to be paying? Or, you know, I'm sure some of them they just kill to get rid of instead. But, I mean, like, fantastic character. And Dave Filoni said that if that character could be brought into the Star Wars Rebels and it makes sense, then yes, they could do it. But they're not looking to do it on all of those characters. And I would agree. Don't just look for ways to bring these characters in. If it works that way, then great. If not, you know, maybe he's in a different part. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't think Cad Bane would be the type to even deal with the Rebels. You know, he probably thinks they're just a small band, so they're not really any concern to him, I would think. But you never know.
Right. I can only see him coming in, like you said, because the Rebels don't mean much to him. I think it'd be all for the money and for the Empire hiring him to do some things. So that's like the possibility of him coming into the Rebels. The character I was thinking of was Quinlan Vos. You remember there was a fight between Obi-Wan and Quinlan Vos, and they were going over mountainous, treacherous kind of areas. That was a really, really cool standout fight for Cad Bane. But yeah, I mean, we've seen him. You know, he's seen him do everything from kidnapping children, and he sells them to the Sith Lords. You know, he's done that. Like I said, he's gone after holocrons. He's been forced. You know, him and he was tortured. He was actually tortured by, you know, was it Anakin? Ahsoka was there. Obi-Wan and even Mace Windu, right?
Yeah, Mace. Yeah, all three.
Yeah, they kind of did this. They did this mind thing on him, and it was really getting inside his head. So they had some great him and especially him and Obi-Wan have had some really cool standoffs together. So, like I said, Cad Bane, everything he's done, the look, the sound, the characters. I mean, he's up there. You know, top five, obviously, of my favorite characters introduced in the Clone Wars animated series. So. That is our list. That is our list, Chris. I mean, of course, there was a bunch of other characters that were introduced. You mentioned especially a lot of the clones. They've had some really cool story arcs with them. And speaking of Cad Bane, real quick, you know, they had at the celebration, they had the episodes that were they were working on, and they showed some stuff, some pre-vis stuff between Cad Bane and Boba Fett, and how Boba Fett was going to allow himself to be captured. And so they can do some things. And it looked like there was going to be some really interesting stuff between Cad Bane and the torture. Just some stuff that Cad Bane was going to teach Boba Fett and how to be a great bounty hunter. And sadly, we won't get to see those.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You might be able to see those online. I don't know if those are online or not. But
that would be cool.
We saw them. We did see them at Celebration. So just some more fodder to the fact that Cad Bane was going to be just a great, continued to be a great character in the Clone Wars. So fingers crossed that somehow, some way, and done the right way, that he might find himself in the Clone, the Rebel series. We'll see, though. But that is our top five. How did that stack up to the listeners? You listeners out there, I mean, do you agree with our list? Do you think that there's some that we left off that should have been on a top five list? Let us know. Chris, if they want to do that, where can they?
They could go to sarlaccpitpodcast.com, and there's a place they can click on to leave a voice message. Or they can contact us at facebook.com/sarlaccpitpodcast, and they can leave anything that they want there straight on the page, or send us a message on the page. And, of course, our other main page is Classic Star Wars on Facebook and Twitter, Classic Star Wars.
Good stuff, man. Hey, that's going to do it for this episode. Like I said, we've got some stuff coming up. And when that hits, I'm sure we will be here probably a day or two after that, maybe to go over everything that came out of San Diego Comic-Con. So stay tuned for that. But for this week, or for this episode, that's going to do it. Thank you guys for being a part of the podcast and making us. Chris, my name is Matt. Take care, guys, and we will see you guys next time in the Sarlacc Pit.
Thank you for joining us on the Sarlacc Pit, the official podcast of GalacticBinder.com and YodasNews.com. Star Wars, its logo, and all things in the Star Wars universe are the property of Lucasfilm Limited. All rights reserved. All original content within this podcast, unless otherwise indicated, is the intellectual property of GalacticBinder.com and YodasNews.com.